Randy Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Mexico, for almost 30 years now, have failed to make it past that fourth game, and we were part of extending that curse, and it's real to the people who have lived it for so long. We played Mexico, and we won that day, scored a goal.
They didn't know you were coming to play that day, did they?
I guess not. Young kid with a lot more hair. And now living in Mexico, I see that in their people. I see it in the players. And now I find myself rooting for them because for almost 30 years, they've been desperately trying to get to the quarterfinals again.
And I would tell the people of Mexico, you got to have hope.
It's only every 4 years, and there's so much at stake. So here's to breaking a curse.
All right, that was Landon Donovan, and we're going to talk to him in this segment. We are the Sklar Brothers coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What a great first hour that was.
Love
Gar Reines at Batting Stance G. You definitely want to follow him on Twitter, at Batting Stance Guy on Instagram. Pick up his books and all that other stuff. He's just a joy to be with.
We want to mention that we are actually going to be at Wise Guys.
Wise Guys Comedy Club next weekend.
In Salt Lake City.
There we go. But, you know, we got someone on the line right now who is perhaps one of the most, if not the most, decorated U.S. soccer player in history. A guy we've enjoyed watching play throughout his years. And just, you know, someone who I think is good for soccer at a time right now when we need it. Landon Donovan, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. And not sure people know this, but I am also a twin.
No way!
Yes.
Identical?
Yeah, I have a twin sister.
Oh, there you go. So not identical.
Correct.
That's a bad thing when you're like, you're a twin. You're like, you have a brother or sister. You're like, sister. And we're like, identical?
Identical?
No.
I don't think so.
Dude, are you – I know it's a little bittersweet right now because the World Cup for soccer fans and certainly guys who play and women who played the game, it is the most exciting time of the year because the entire world is like watching one tournament. It's got to be bittersweet because the U.S. team isn't there this year. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think every day, every game is kind of going to be a reminder that we're not there, and it's hard. But I just watched the Russia game just now, and you can't help but be excited and enjoy it and have fun. But the reality is it's a big opportunity missed for a lot of reasons.
I feel that, too. Is there any way we can turn this into a positive for U.S. soccer? The fact that they didn't make it
is a wake-up motivation?
I think long-term, yes. Mm-hmm. It'll be the right thing. We needed a wake-up call, and we weren't as good as we thought we were, and we weren't progressing as well as we thought we were.
Yeah.
We got a huge, huge boost in the arm yesterday with getting the 2026 World Cup.
Huge.
In North America.
Yep.
So that'll be a big plus and give us something to focus on for the next 8 years.
We can't miss out on that one. And let's talk about that for a second. let's talk about it because, you know, it's the North America. It's the first time it's kind of spread across three countries. The United States will get the majority of those games with, I believe, 10 being played in Mexico and 10 being played in Canada. Talk about that as an opportunity for U.S. soccer to sort of put itself on the map worldwide.
Well, as a starting point, and you guys will appreciate this, I think there's no question that this will be the biggest sporting event in the history of the world, right? So when you keep that in mind, it's an opportunity unlike any other in the history of the world and in the sports. So we have to make sure that, one, we are successful, our team is successful,
exactly.
But that we are doing everything we can with all the additional resources and attention we're getting over the next 8 years to take advantage of this opportunity in every way.
Well, 94 was the last time the U.S. hosted the World Cup.
You think about how far even our own league, the MLS, has come since then and how far U.S. soccer and fandom in the United States for U.S. soccer has come, I think that's going to be a big thing for the world to see, is how fanatical and how amazing the American fans are.
No question, and people who know our country know that it is as diverse as any country in the world. Mm-hmm. So you will have millions and millions, tens of millions of American fans, but you'll have millions of Croatian fans.
Yeah, Nigerian fans, yeah.
Tens of millions of Mexican fans.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's going to be a spectacle unlike anything we've ever seen.
Okay, so let's just talk briefly about four-time MLS champion. Am I getting that
six,
right?
Six, I think.
Six times?
Don't undersell me, man.
All right, six-time I'll give you seven. I don't care. six-time MLS champion. When the MLS gets a player like Ibrahimovic in his prime, what does that say about the league in terms of the type of people that they're attracting to play in a league that we already know is a decent league?
Well, in the past, you would get guys like that, of that quality, coming over that had nothing to provide the league anymore.
Right.
They were literally sort of on vacation, just taking a paycheck, and, you know, I don't want to say stealing money, but they were, you know, they weren't worried about the soccer side of it.
Right.
We've now evolved into a league that has players of that quality who are focused still on their careers, on the soccer side, and on helping their teams in the league. And that's the natural evolution. And the next step is to get very, very top players in their prime wanting to come here and play.
And yeah. So how does the MLS do that? I personally think it starts with rivalries like Portland, Seattle. You know what I mean? You start that up in two markets that, you know, Portland doesn't, other than the Trailblazers, they don't really have any other, they have no other professional sports team. Seattle lost their NBA team. It's like these are markets with a lot of people and a rabid fan base that if you start that rivalry, suddenly that is the sport in town.
We've learned that that's a big piece of sports. Right. And,
yeah.
And it's not anything novel, but no. In the soccer world, we're kind of learning that that is as big as anything to fans, having rivalries because you want to take a side and you want to be against something. And that provides that. I think the two biggest ways we achieve that are money. I mean, there's no way around it. You got to be able to pay
the guys. Yep.
Like other countries.
Or compete. Yeah.
And then having the level of play be good enough where they want to be here. Every time I travel, everywhere I've played, all these players want to play in the States. They
really?
Want to live in the States. They want to be in the States.
Wow.
They want to play in the States. But for a long time, there hasn't been enough money, and the level hasn't been high enough. And we're closing both of those gaps quickly.
Even when you were on Everton, you had that vibe? There was a vibe in the Premier League?
Of course.
Wow.
And, you know, no offense to English weather, but would you rather live in San Diego or in
California, LA?
That's a great point. You win.
Right. And those guys, they love that.
Well,
and they want to be in the States.
Of course. Now, here's my question for you as we look forward to the future, and we'll talk this World Cup and who you think has a shot to win, but the future of U.S. soccer, as we look forward, obviously a lot of pressure gets put on the guys who emerged, like the Christian Pulisic and guys like that who have a chance to be stars, and you know what it's like to have that pressure on your shoulders. Are we doing them a disservice by putting that much pressure on these guys?
Some ways I say yes, but the reality is if you want to be one of the top countries in the world, all the players deal with it, right? So it's just when you're 17 and you're a young star in Paraguay or Mexico, you are anointed that, and you got to find a way to deal with it. Now, I know the very real side of it because it's something I lived through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy.
No.
But that's the reality of it, and we can't shy away from it. I think we need to embrace it.
And do you see stars emerging, young dudes like on for the under 20 team and, you know, guys that in the system, so to speak, that can carry the mantle for U.S. soccer moving forward?
So I don't see a, wow, this is Messi or this is Ronaldo.
Right.
But I see a lot of young players who have the potential to be really good. Now, do they have the mental side of it? Are they determined? Do they have the work ethic?
Yep.
All those things, TBD. But in the past, we had one or two or three of those guys in any age group, and now we've got hundreds.
That's great.
So we've got a much better chance to
maybe they push each other.
Successful.
Yeah, maybe they push each other to reach that level. Yeah.
Yep.
So, okay, let's focus on this current World Cup. I mean,
Italy is not in this
Italy's
World
not
Cup.
In there. Netherlands aren't in there. Chile's not in. I mean, it's amazing the teams that missed this World Cup. So we can be mad about the United States missing it, but some huge teams did not make this World Cup. Who is, in your opinion?
I mean, is it Germany's to lose at this point?
I think so, although this is the first World Cup I can remember where people are not talking about Brazil.
Yeah.
In a weird way. and they're a really good team.
Right.
And I think in tournaments like this, or in, if you're going to win a championship in the soccer world, you've got to have two things. You've got to be really good defensively in the end, and then you've got to have special players who can make plays. And Brazil has a plethora of special players.
Neymar, starting with Neymar. Plays.
So, yeah, exactly, starting with Neymar.
You need a Neymar.
So
you need a couple
they've
of them.
Got, they check those boxes, so they've got every chance.
Well, what's interesting, and I'll, last thing we'll talk about is just the idea of this: what happened to Spain leading in here, leading into the fact that Spain's coach is just removed from the team right before the tournament, and they actually
they referenced the University of Michigan in 1989.
PK referenced the Michigan winning when Steve Fisher stepped in for Bill.
Incredible,
huh? Isn't that crazy? So, I mean. It's amazing that they know what that is, but how do you see
a historian or he
was told, I think someone sent him that just to motivate him, but
it's not like assistant coaches at that level for those teams are bad coaches. I mean, a quality replacement is stepping in,
sure.
but
how does that hurt Spain's chances moving forward? Spain, a really good team.
Very good team. It's hard to know exactly what went on, right, behind the scenes. So I don't know if this was weeks or months coming.
Right, but bad
timing.
If the players
knew about it. I mean, if they walked into a meeting 2 days ago and the coach said, I got fired,
yeah.
I think that's a
that's pretty
that's a
weak. That's pretty
really
weak.
Tough situation to be in. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know sports. I mean, sometimes those things motivate you and they help you. And you come together as a team and you say, okay, well, everyone's writing us off, but
this is our shot.
Maybe we can do something special. So,
well,
I don't know. It's going to be really, I've never seen anything like it.
It's crazy.
It's fascinating to watch.
I'm anxious to see exactly whether it congeals them or it's something that's going to be difficult for them. All I know is I'm excited to watch the games in the next period of time. And thank you. Thank you to Modelo for letting you come on here with us. And we just appreciate you, and we wish you all the luck in the future. You're a great dude, and I think a great ambassador for U.S. soccer.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Landon Donovan.
Look at that.
Gotta love it.
Clones, get on the soccer train.
I know. Maybe that's not what you, what a lot of people are into, but we enjoy it.
Love it.
That's what we'll do.
And it's this time of the year. This is the biggest sporting event on the planet right now. You can't avoid it.
Let's take a break. This is Glad Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on the CBS Sports Radio. Guys, getting maximum performance out of anything depends on what you put into it.
Yep.
If you want to achieve maximum performance at work, Jay, you put in the extra effort.
That's
you want
right.
to achieve maximum performance from your kids, you what? You coach extra hours,
you
put in the time,
put
in the tools.
Time.
When you want maximum performance for your vehicle, you put in Castrol Edge, the titanium-strong motor oil. Modern engines are smaller, Jay, more powerful, and operate at higher pressures than ever. The pressure in the engine is as much as 5 cars resting on a high heel.
Jeez.
Imagine that. Higher engine pressures causes significant stress on the oil, so the oil needs to be strong and stay strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology and helps reduce friction and maximize engine performance. Castrol Edge is 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown as tested in the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 Viz grade. Put it into your vehicle today. We'll be back, guys. A lot of great stuff. Brian Scalabrine on the other end of this, so stay with us.
You're listening to the Jim Rome.
Oh, the Go Team semicircle song. We are the Sklar Brothers filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. That was awesome. I'm actually really excited about the World Cup and not ashamed to say it, even here where I know soccer is, you know. But thank you to Landon Donovan and Modelo for coming
on. Got some tweets, Randy.
Let's
Abel
hear
in the ATX.
Yeah.
I always thought that Albert Pujols' stance looked like he was sitting on an invisible chair.
Ooh.
Any thoughts?
Yeah.
I think he was. He was sitting on a chair that came from St. Louis and then was moved to Southern California.
That's right. A Southern California chair, that like a Southern California thing.
GM said Landon Donovan will get money if he goes around the USA like Forrest Gump kicking a soccer ball. I think that's true.
He might do that. All right, let's switch gears because he's on the line. I'm so excited to have this guy on the show.
White Mamba!
White Mamba in the house. One of our favorite players and certainly a favorite wherever he played. He is now doing
TV.
Great coverage for the Boston Celtics. Brian Scalabrine. What's happening, Brian Scalabrine? Sklar Brothers here with you.
You know, I'm a regular on the Rome show.
Yeah.
And I'm a little hesitant going into this because I know that you guys are fans. No, I'm just kidding. How you guys doing?
Yeah, I love it. White Mamba, what an amazing season for the team that you covered, team you used to play for. Did anyone in Boston sort of see
this? Randy and I were discussing this. Did the insiders say,
like, when Kyrie goes down and Hayward is down, who was saying this is the team to beat in the East?
No one really. I think, you know who really believes in his guys, and you could kind of see it in his press conference, is Brad Stevens.
Sure.
He does. Like, he, and think about it. He took Butler to the national championship. They lose Gordon Hayward, and he does it again. So, like, in his mind, he feels like he can coach anybody and get to that point. But I think when you watch the team, you just saw, like, you know, they competed at a high level. They had some shortcomings in that game seven as far as offensively, but no, I don't think anybody, even me, I'm seeing them every single day. I could have never imagined how they continue to grow throughout the season, which a lot of times in the NBA, guys sort of slow down. They come in, they surprise people, and then everyone kind of figures them out. These guys just kept getting better.
Well, in the what it seemed like to us as outsiders, in the moments when they could have slowed down or could have been unsure of themselves, they fell back on this system that Stevens had put in place. And you're the incredible ball movement. The system works. I mean, it's ball movement like we see with Golden State, but with younger guys who are kind of still learning it.
Yeah, and you know what? We all should recognize, like, with Golden State, I know, like, Kevin Durant was amazing and Steph Curry, two-time MVP, but – like the Draymond Green and for the Celtics, the Al Horford.
Yep.
Those guys are really hard to come by in the NBA nowadays. Like, big men who can defend multiple positions, rebound the ball, lead the break, pass the ball, know how to play, drive a closeout. Like, those guys are really, really hard to find.
And shoot
both
a three.
Those guys really are the main, like, cog in the wheel to make that thing work.
And shoot a three when to keep them honest. I mean, Horford dropped a bunch of threes from behind the line, and you're like, well, maybe we got to get out. I can't lay back. I got to get out and guard him.
Which
allows him to drive and put the ball in the deck.
And it's no surprise. You think about, like, Isaiah Thomas's last year, how well he played. Kyrie, amazing, when he was playing. And then Terry Rozier. Like, every point guard, I mean, must send Al Horford, like, a huge thank you gift at the end of the year because – it makes their job so much easier.
Yeah, right. And so let's talk about Terry Rozier, because the emergence of him as a player and as a perfect player within that system.
Now what do you do?
What do you do? I mean, it's almost like the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, you have Nick Foles. He won the Super Bowl for you. And now what do you do? He's got to sit back and be the backup. How is this team? And I think a lot of people are asking, they worked perfectly, the players and the personnel that they had. Look, you always want a Kyrie Irving on your team. You always want a Gordon Hayward on your team. But are those dudes going to be willing to bend to the system and not have the ball stick with them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the NBA playoffs, the thing that you can't have enough of is wing players who can bounce it, score it. That's true. I mean, you look, just think about when Houston was playing Golden State, like, the big man disappeared.
Yeah.
When you watch Cleveland at sometimes, you know, they want to go small with LeBron at the four, Kevin Love, a range shooter out there.
Yep.
So I think it's a problem if you have a bunch of bigs. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think it's a problem if you have a bunch of wing players who can defend multiple positions, bounce the ball, shoot it, you know, play on the ball, play off the ball. You know, Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, they're just as good off the ball as they are on the ball. So I think it's a good problem to have right now. I think, and more so than anything, not to get, like, too nerdy with the cap.
Let's get
nerdy. A lot of these guys are on rookie scales, and you don't have to like, make that decision right now.
It's true.
Those decisions are going to happen sometime in the future where you have to say, how far in the tax do we have to go to keep all these guys? But for right now, these guys all have good deals and good contracts, and no one's a free agent yet. So Marcus Smart is. So I think he's a guy that you can have a conversation of whether he'll leave or stay. But right now, they don't have to answer the question right now. Maybe if we had this conversation next year, then we'll have to go. But this season could unfold completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you tell guys who had max minutes, you're going to have to cut those in half or maybe by more? Guys who really,
like, who do
themselves.
You sit? I mean, do you sit Jaylen Brown?
The new narrative now. Oh, you mean, like, who do you start?
Who do you, I'm saying, yeah, like, Gordon Hayward comes back. Do you sit Jaylen Brown? I mean, I wouldn't.
Yeah, but here's what you guys are assuming. Over the course of 82 games in the NBA, sickness, personal reasons.
Sure, of course.
Guys coming back, sprained ankle. Like, there's always guys missing.
Sure.
Now, if you want to say, I think the real question is, and what you should be asking is, who's going to finish? Like,
yeah.
Night in and night out. Is it going to be go with a hot hand?
Mm-hmm.
Or is, like, if a Kyrie or a Gordon Hayward don't have it that night, are you fine sitting those guys in the fourth? Like, I don't know the answer to that question.
Right. That is a big one.
That ain't going to be a problem.
So that's a big question, because the larger question that you're hinting at is, do guys buy in? Is everybody buying in? Like Kyrie Irving, a champion on another team. Gordon Hayward, who was the go-to guy on another team. Now, you know Gordon Hayward will probably buy in because he's been on a Brad Stevens team. But will Kyrie Irving buy into the idea and the notion that, yeah, if you're not the hot guy, guess what? Terry Rozier is going to finish this game up, and he's going to play the point guard spot, and we're going to move the ball around, and that's what it's going to be. And to me, I think it's a great problem to have, because, you know, it's a wealth of talent. But all right, let's talk about it from the perspective of, where does LeBron go? Because, of course, all the speculation is, where is he going to go? What if LeBron comes to the Sixers, which is, you know, it's feeling a little more remote now, but if he does come to the Sixers, talk about reigniting that whole rivalry, which we grew up with in the early 80s.
Yeah, I think the Sixers would be great. And I know, like, a lot of the basketball geeks out there are saying, how is it going to work with him and Ben Simmons? I mean, I'm looking at him saying, like, look at these freak athletes.
Right.
Such good passers. And I say, how is it not going to work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know if they'll be better than the Golden State Warriors next year, but you look at that team, you add LeBron to a mix of a team that won 19 games in a row towards the end of the season.
That was unbelievable.
I think that would be a tremendous pickup for Philadelphia if he decides to go there. But I'm hearing
LA.
That it's going to be L.A. I'm
yep.
hearing a lot of Laker talk right now.
I mean, so if he goes to L.A., and I guess the thought is, with the hints dropped by Paul George, maybe Paul George joins him there. I mean, do you see them? Someone even mentioned, like, maybe
Kawhi
L.A.
Leonard.
Would try and get Kawhi Leonard as well. Suddenly the Lakers, that's a very interesting team.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, guys? Go down to the list of free agents this year.
Yeah.
Like, just go to Hoops Hype and look at some of the free agents. And just in your mind, start thinking about guys who would be willing to take, like, a biannual exception or a mid-level exception to win a championship, to play with a LeBron James, or let's just say it's LeBron, Paul George, and Chris Paul, right?
Right.
Guys who would take pay cuts. You know, like Chris Paul, as I love Chris Paul, he always gets hurt, but he's got to, like, deep down inside want to beat the Warriors too, you know,
yeah.
after all these years.
Sure.
Him getting crossed up by Steph. So
in L.A.
If you think about it, there's probably a list of guys who are willing to go to the Lakers and sort of say, like, all right, money might not be the thing for me this time. I'm trying to win a championship. I want to beat the Warriors. I want to see what it's like playing with LeBron. Let's try to do this. And Lakers do have some assets that they can move for guys. So I think if LeBron is, like, obviously the major domino in this piece, but if he goes there, I think the Lakers can be completely rebuilt, like, in a matter of months, because it is L.A., and maybe guys are willing to make that sacrifice.
I mean, listen,
Magic.
I mean, here's the deal. Everyone's talking about LeBron. Everyone's talking about Durant, Chris Paul. I'm really wondering who's going to pick up Enes Kanter. I mean, let's get real, Skels. Let's get real, man. Who's going to get that guy? He's got attitude.
A prince, a princess, or whatever, a queen, or whatever he called him. So I doubt whoever LeBron plays for. But you know who really, like, sparked my attention with a guy like Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
Rudy Gay last year in San Antonio.
Yep.
I think Rudy Gay could definitely play against the Warriors. Like, can you imagine a lineup with him and LeBron?
He's
at the 4-5 going against Durant and Draymond Green.
He gives you a lot.
My point is just, like, look at some of these lower tier free agents: Wilson Chandler,
yep.
Rudy Gay. Like, those are Thaddeus Young. Look for some of those guys and see what kind of commitment they'll make, and see if they'll, take a biannual exception or something down, you know, something where they're taking a pay cut to play on this wonderful team.
And make it work. I love it. Well, hopefully guys can make it work in Boston for you, and you can continue to do the great work that you do there, because people love you. Scal, White Mamba, love having you on the show, and what a treat it is, and I hope we lived up to all of your expectations.
You definitely have, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. All right, let's take a break. Brian Scalabrine, I love it.
Scalabrine coming in and doing what he always does,
which
getting the crowd up for a few minutes.
Exactly. Everyone done. Let's throw it to a little sports update with Richard Ackerman. You want to do that, Jay?
Let's do it.
Richard,
give it to us.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest hosts Randy and Jason Sklar on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't mess with the robot.
It is kind of funny that when you're, he tries to say your name
Jason
first.
Clark.
Yeah, it does sound like there's a glitch.
Scalabrini, White Mamba, bringing it.
Love it.
Just bringing it. And thank you to Dave Whalen. Oh, man.
Guy, he is a huge part of helping to produce this show. We love him.
In the guests and all the people who work on it. Adam Hawk, Alvin DeLauro, Tom DeCelestino. Hey, you know what's on CBS Sports Network tonight?
Talk to me, Randy.
9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. The globe's mightiest men muscle up and push themselves to their physical limits while testing their mental toughness. Tune in to see who will be one step closer to becoming the 2018 Tachi Palace World Strongest Man. On CBS Sports Network. I love the World Strongest Man competition so much.
Yes, because there's a guy named Magnus Vermagnussen.
Well, there was Magnus Vermagnussen, but we don't know who it's going to be this year.
Back in the day when we did Cheap Seats, Bruce Wilhelm was a jerk.
Don Reinhout, a good guy.
Bruce Wilhelm beat him badly.
That upset
us. In a one-on-one tug of war.
I just feel like there should just be, at any park anywhere, guys picking up gigantic boulders and just or giant pillows and throwing them over stuff.
Or kegs.
Yeah, just throw it, cinder blocks. Just move it around.
All right, we were talking basketball. Let's get to a take because this is something.
Were we talking basketball with Scalabrini?
We were.
Scalabrine?
Look, the NBA season's over, obviously. The LeBron sweepstakes.
It's kind of a good time. LeBron sweepstakes, Paul George sweepstakes, Kevin Durant obviously is going to come back to the Warriors, but he's a free agent. Chris Paul, there's a lot of stuff up in the air. And then the draft next Thursday.
Which is going to be huge.
Huge.
This is a deep draft with a lot of guys who can make an impact
first
right away.
First six guys in the draft will make an impact on whatever team they go to. You don't believe me? Talk to Donovan Mitchell and the folks in Utah, which will be at Wise Guys next weekend, the 22nd and 23rd.
Nice plug, Randy.
Thank you. Shout out to Keith Stubbs, the dude who runs that thing. Bing.
Let's get to, though, the real news in the NBA.
The real news, because this time of year is when guys start to do it's the off season. So you know.
Guys start to drop the rap
albums.
Here
come the rap albums that we never ask for. Here comes Tony Parker doing his French rap album. That
gets
dropped.
We're like a kid talks for the first two verses.
Like too much kids talking. You know what I mean? Snoop knew to just have like the nursery rhyme at the beginning and then
get into it.
You got kids talking all over it. What, did you let your kids just in the studio while you're laying down the vocals, TP?
Come on, buddy.
Come on. That's not how we do it over here.
Well, now we have another head scratcher rap diss track released by Lonzo Ball,
which, let's be honest, everything Lonzo Ball is a bit of a that he does is a bit of a head scratcher, starting from his shot,
yeah,
his release point,
and his like $900 shoes. But look, he released a diss track, which I don't know that you're
fine.
It's almost, but to me, for him at this point to release a diss track is like when Tebow was writing a memoir. I'm like, you're only 29, you're
yeah,
only 30. Like, you haven't done that much. You're not dying.
Although a diss track isn't like your life's work.
No, but it is like a moment where you got to earn that. Like, in my mind, you got to earn a diss track.
Did he have the type of season that would warrant him? I mean, he's second team all rookie.
And the guy he dissed.
Yeah, I guess it depends on who you're dissing. So
right,
he definitely went after someone
way
on another team.
Yeah.
Or way worse. No, he went after his own teammate,
Kyle Kuzma,
who, by the way, was first team all rookie.
A bigger surprise, a better thing for the lay,
seemingly a great dude.
Yeah.
Now, Kuzma had playful beef with other players on the team, but it never crossed the line. And it's the track that he released. There are some shots that Lonzo Ball takes at Kyle Kuzma. First of all, he calls it Kylie Kuzma.
All right.
Okay.
That's fair.
All right. Do we have a little, Alvy, do we have a little bit of the Kylie Kuzma? Let's play a little.
Let's hear some of these
tight
rhymes.
Let's drop a little of these tight Lonzo rhymes.
You ain't on my level. You ain't famous as my baby. I'm working out daily, but I ain't posting it. And I would never stop a workout just to post a pic. You let them gas you up thinking that you can't be touched. Coming from the outskirts of Flint, boy, you ain't
okay.
Tough.
Okay.
Big baller brand, getting brand. Look who's just getting crumbs. We thumbing through that money. Look at y'all playing with your thumbs.
Do you see, like, LeVar Ball in the studio? Like, just pushing. Like, he's probably working the board in the
well,
studio.
Well, he did, as you were talking, Jay, and you spoke over the greatest line in this whole thing, which he said, don't know who your daddy is.
Right.
Don't know who your daddy is.
Okay.
Well, your ass is getting sun. We both taking shots. The only difference, you ain't hitting none.
Oh, he's hitting
more than you.
He's hitting more than you. Let's tell it like it is. Don't know who your daddy. That's pretty harsh.
Don't know who your daddy is.
That is pretty harsh.
Don't know who your daddy is.
I don't know who your daddy is.
And there's a moment where I feel like when LaVar Ball is speaking, LaVar Ball wishes he didn't know who
Lonzo
his daddy
Ball
is.
Wishes he didn't know who his daddy was. Like, you don't know who your daddy is.
Don't know who your daddy is.
I wish I didn't know who my daddy
maybe
was.
That's like, maybe that's
it's wish fulfillment in some. By the way, this is a diss track that feels like something J.R. Smith would do.
Yeah. J.R. Smith, by the way, and Swaggy P are the same guy. We've said that.
Same guy. Dude.
Same. They're just on different teams.
Both of them at the parades.
Shirtless.
Even Gronk was like, put a shirt on.
Yeah.
Even Gronk is like, you got to dress it up just a little bit.
Put a shirt on it.
Put a shirt on it. Yeah. That's what you got to do with it.
But I would expect like Nick Young to release a diss track. Doesn't it seem weird that that's Lonzo Ball's like voice and his rap voice?
Yeah.
It seems like incongruous to his character.
This to me feels like, and at times Lonzo Ball feels like the best character that Drake has never played.
Yeah.
Like this is Drake. Like Drake wishes he could play basketball a little bit better, and Lonzo wishes he could rap a lot better.
Like Lonzo feels like the Jewish side of Drake,
right? As a rapper, like if Drake was like, "Look, I'm gonna delve
my
deep.
Jewish cousin who has none of my like hip hop deep," he dropped a track.
Lonzo Goldberg dropped a track, and then here you go. This is what it is.
Don't know who your daddy is.
That's how it is. Go ahead.
I have to admit, I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be, and yet at the same time, I was completely disappointed in it. You know that? You know
one
that
last
feeling?
One last point about J.R. Smith and Nick Young. The fact that they have to wear jerseys during the game, how much does that kill them?
Like they would rather play in like
shirt?
White beaters or just
you
no
know
shirts.
They walked up to the ref. Are we going shirts and skins? Like they want to go shirts and skins in an NBA game?
Well, not J.R. I mean, he's aware of everything on the court.
Sure,
all the time.
Look, Michael Jordan acted in, and I put that in air quotes, in Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yes, he tried to also play baseball, but he won championship. You got to earn the ability
to do the thing that you can't do.
You got to earn your ability to go try and play baseball. You got to earn your ability. Lonzo Ball releasing a diss track would be like Josh Rosen releasing a folk song about what a disappointment Christian Kirk will be this year.
Are you talking about before or after Christian Kirk drunkenly threw rocks at cars? Yeah.
I don't know, before or after.
Either way.
Now, if Lonzo Ball wrote a diss track about his dad.
Well, then now I'm listening.
Now I'm listening.
Now I'm on board.
You open with taking a shot at your pops.
He says to his dad, don't know who your daddy is.
Don't know who your daddy is.
I mean, you say that to Lonzo Ball, or from Lonzo Ball to LaVar Ball. There you go. Big balling.
Right.
Just laying out years of being under the thumb of a manipulating tyrant.
But if you're going to diss someone else, like you have to puff yourself up in that same sentence. And I love that, like, what does he have to brag about after this first season?
He could have been talking to himself. If the name of the song was Don't Know Who Your Daddy Is.
Don't know who your daddy is.
And it's a song about LaVar Ball.
Like
I'm serious.
Open letter to himself.
Don't know who your daddy is.
Lonzo.
Don't know who your daddy is.
Rapping to himself from like 5 years ago. This I'm talking to my 14-year-old self.
Saying you don't know who your daddy is.
Don't know who your daddy is.
And it's setting you up for a life that might be difficult. I would give him a Grammy just on this without even hearing it on the spot.
Look, we do not want to see Garth Brooks. Or Chris Gaines, for that matter, playing third base for a professional baseball team.
Nobody is sitting there going, hey, I wonder what... Has Lonzo Ball laid anything down in a studio lately? Who is out there saying, I can't... This summer can't happen. It can't go off until I hear the Lonzo Ball diss track.
I mean, if LeBron comes to the Lakers, does he get dissed in a track by Lonzo Ball?
He's got to be. You're in the line of fire, son.
Hey, man, you join this team. It feels to me like it came too early for him, like many things. But this is that moment where I bet he didn't even want to do it. I bet his dad forced him into it.
This, by the way, nobody, I'm saying nobody out there said we want to see Chris Gaines or Garth Brooks playing third base. Just like nobody said we want to hear Manny Pacquiao sing Sometimes When We Touch. Okay, I actually do want to hear
this. I do like this.
There's so much about this that I love.
I'm able to overlook his views on everything.
I mean, but nobody said, when is this coming out? Nobody said this has to happen. This has to happen more than the Mayweather fight, which, by the way, this came out, I believe, when they should have been making the Mayweather fight.
And this was more violent than the Mayweather fight.
I actually think Manny put more effort into this than he did the Mayweather fight.
Hey, you know who didn't do a diss track this year? Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
You know who else didn't do one? Ben Simmons. This would be like Fultz, Marco Fultz.
And that was more because Ben Simmons just doesn't like to take any shots.
No.
But
rarely takes shots.
Rarely takes a shot. But Markelle Fultz, another guy who doesn't like to take them. But still.
It'd be like the guy.
I would go after Markelle Fultz. That guy's got a jump shot like the movie The Room.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch a lot of the time, and it's unintentionally funny.
Yes. I don't know. LeBron is in the process of deciding where he's going to go, and you're dropping
what does
this
LeBron
kind of track.
Okay, what does LeBron do with it? I'm like, why are you doing that? To me, the whole ghost Twitter accounts from the 76ers might kill LeBron coming to the 76ers.
The burner accounts.
The burner accounts, like saying, I don't want a guy in ownership who's going to be taking shots at me.
Right, through burners.
So now you got Lonzo Ball in L.A., and I know he wants to come out to L.A., and I know LeBron wants to play with his son, and I know LeBron is, like, looking at schools for his son out here. I know all that's happening. I know Paul George has said he wants to come to Los Angeles.
Paul George grew up playing in Los Angeles at the Hollywood Y. How do I know that? His picture is up at the Hollywood Y.
Why are you at the Hollywood Y, Jason?
I just hang out there. I love their workout system now. They got a great solo
great. They
flex.
Have great, they have a ton of great Nautilus machines.
They have two Bowflexes.
86
No, equipment. My son played basketball there. And I
86 equipment.
They do. 1986
Circa
equipment.
86 circuit training.
But he's from here.
So, that yeah, he wants logical. To play there. And if he comes, that's great. But both of them, do they have to have a sit-down? I think LeBron sits down with LeVar Ball.
He has to sit down with LeVar Ball.
Sits down with LeVar Ball and says, you're going to have to stop.
Here's what you're going to do. You're going to move to Sweden. You want me to come here? You're going to move to Sweden.
I think LeBron.
And we're going to get you like. We're
just going to get you out of the picture for a long time. We're going to set you up in a ski chalet. You'll be eating fondue.
You'll be making shoes. You're going to have a great life out there.
I think LeBron James is going to have to get Laura Ingram to say to LeVar Ball, shut up and let me dribble.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Get her on your side now. Could happen.
That might be what has to happen. Either
it
way.
Certainly makes the picture more interesting in L.A. and the possibility of him coming to the Lakers.
Don't know who my daddy is.
Don't know who your daddy is. Well, your ass is getting some. We both
I want to take call. We got Matt in L.A. on line one. Matt, you're in the jungle. What's happening, buddy?
Warm up, baby. Hey, Sklars.
Yes.
That was epic with Dennis effing Rodman.
Yep.
Kim Jong-un, his sidekick, right?
Yep.
Old Kim Jong-un can eat through 4 feet of copper wire. Why would he do that? Who the hell knows? Dude does whatever the hell he wants.
Yep.
But, hey, check it. My man, Hawk. You guys are in SoCal, right? You know the miss that is Hawk, Adam Hawk.
You better believe
it. Tell me this. I'm going to take you guys back again, 85 Cardinals.
Yep.
Is that Danny Cox's illegitimate son or not?
They have the same porn stash, so I'm going to say yes on porn stash alone. That's a great call.
Hey, Alvy, to the conspiracy theory, Hawk and Cox are brothers or siblings or something. Hey, Sklars, love when you guys come in, man. Keep vibing. Hey, let us know when you guys are going to be doing some shows in L.A., man. I want to catch you guys live.
Hey, man, we're going to headline the Improv on September 8th. That's a Saturday night. Come
we'll
on up for that.
There.
Matt in L.A.
I will be there, Sklars. You got my word. Your boy Matt in L.A., a.k.a. the boner from Eastside Gardena, is in there like swimwear, baby.
Love it.
Brother.
Thanks, my man. Hey, by the way,
I want to remind people, polls are open till Monday, June 18th on the
This
Hall
is a dog fight. This is not the shoe in you think it is. You got to vote. Clones, Sklones, text 800-296-000.
Do it right now when we're in this break.
And vote at radiovote.com. Vote for Jim Rome to be in the Hall of Fame.
He's given you so many hours of wonderful entertainment.
What is it to be in the Hall of Fame? You have to be the best at what you do for a period of time. Jim Rome has been the best sports talk radio guy for decades. If you had a player in the NBA or in the NA, never have it in the NFL, but if you had a player in Major League Baseball who was that, Sandy Koufax did it for a 6-year period.
Rome has done it for decades.
Decades. This guy belongs in the Hall of Fame.
He created his own language on the radio.
He is the best of the best of the best. He is the example by which all other people set the standard. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. Again, polls are open until Monday, June 18th.
Text
800-296-0000 and vote at radiovote.com. Vote for Jim Rome to be and vote. Just do it. That's all I'm saying.
Hour three on its way.
Hour three. I can't wait. Brian Kenny at the top of the hour. Sklar is filling in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. Stay with us.